this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. Listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following: for Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates: WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650, Hermanson, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Expo Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. K98talk.com. And WCNR Digital. That's Caden Calgar's station. I think that's it. With that, let's go ahead and bring on my co-host live from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm probably doing a lot better than you are.
Yeah, my balls took it on the chin yesterday.
Yeah, we had a short discussion before the show about. But it was a good game.
It was a good game. Tennessee proved they can actually compete against some of the better teams in the nation now. So that's good.
Yeah, the bad part for you, I'm sure, was Tennessee was in control of that game.
They should have had it. It just did not work out that way. Since the former days, I've had to kind of get used to the fact that they don't win a lot of those games. But the fact is, like I say, this was a really good team, and they had control of them for probably three-fourths of the first three quarters. And then, of course, they kind of lost it. It went to double overtime, so it definitely was a good, close game. Just two good teams, I think. Of course, Tennessee came up short. So, whatever. But I just wouldn't want to be Western Carolina next week. I don't think those boys are going to have a good time next week against Tennessee. Let's get started. Enough about college football. Let's see. Oh, one new program added to the lineup. There's going to be some more this week, but I don't have a confirmation on a couple things. But anyway, one that started this past week was the All-American Family. This actually is an unusual show. It is hosted by a college student and his mother.
Really?
Yeah, both conservatives. Philip Stuckey is a student at the University of Virginia. So we have a millennial here, kind of, you know. And then his mother is a conservative. And so they're doing a show once a week and talk about what's going on that week and doing it from a different perspective of the old and the new kind of thing. Should be an interesting show. So something to check out. They're on, I think they're on Studio B on Fridays at 11 a.m. And they rebroadcast somewhere on Saturday on Studio A. But honestly, I don't know. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. But check the schedule at the website, redstatetalkradio.com. You can always check the schedules there. I keep those things up to date. Anytime there's a schedule change, it's pretty much listed there. You know,
that's an interesting concept. I like the millennial with the mom. I like that.
Yeah. Should be a different take on things. So, and now we've got, I think we've got 46 shows now, believe it or not.
Wow.
So we may have 50 in just a short while. We're looking at several other shows too. So you know, you got to have something different in there every now and then, I guess. So that's a good thing. Let's get started. There are several articles that have been posted this past week about, of course, Donald Trump, the man who sucks up all the oxygen out of the room. They're talking about how he has basically rewired the 2016 campaign all by himself, how Bush and the Clinton camps are both reeling and don't know what the hell to do for different reasons. Bush, because, I mean, now Bush, who's supposedly the front runner, is in the also-ran category now when it comes to the polls. I mean, he's in the middle of the pack. And now, of course, could he vault to the top at some point? Of course, especially if Donald Trump has a gaffe or a big mistake. Yeah, I guess he could. I mean, I don't know, but like we've always said, Ken, about these polls, in the early stages, it's all about name recognition. And Bush benefited because his name is Bush, and so he was higher in the polls. But once Donald Trump entered the race, he has more name recognition than Bush, apparently. And plus, Donald is tapping into to everybody is, I guess the way to put it is, people are pissed. People are pissed at just regular politicians. They're sick to death of all the crap and the lies and the promises that we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then you get them elected and they don't do squat. That's why Trump's doing well. That's why Ben Carson's doing well. That's why Carla Fiorina's doing well, and to a certain extent, Ted Cruz. If you are considered a traditional politician, your poll numbers suck right now.
For good reason.
For a good reason, yeah.
I'm one of those pissed off people. So
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, when you elected a total Congress of Republicans, and we're now in September, and you've seen nothing to come of it.
Nothing.
All we have is an Iran deal lurking in the shadows. That. Somehow we can't stop, and Obamacare is still on the table, is still there, still, you know, just every month it's just embedding itself into our system. I'm getting
the immigration
off.
Stuff, you know, all that jazz.
It takes me off, and I know I'm not, me and you, you know, you and I, whatever the grammar of it, we're not alone.
Oh, no.
No, And I actually kind of like the way it's happening. I kind of like that, you know, Bush and Hillary are all going, what's going on? How do we stop this? You know, how do we get back to the way things were? I don't want to go back to the way it was. I don't want to go back to that.
And you don't either. No, I'm not either. And Trump is not my cup of tea, per se, to be honest with you.
Of course not.
He's very, very entertaining, et cetera.
But you like it. I know you do. I know you like people are being turned on by something other than the status quo politician.
Yeah.
And it's not just Trump. It's Carson. It's Fiorina. It's Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And Bush, yeah, you're thinking, yeah, he's in there because he's got money. That's why he's there. But the Bush name for him, and him being, even though he hadn't been in politics in a while, it's working against him.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that ticks me off about this whole Iran deal, and we're getting a little bit off topic, but really we're not. Mitch McConnell and those idiots act as if the Democrats have control of the Senate.
Yeah.
They act like Harry Reid's still in charge. And they act like there ain't a damn thing they can do about it to stop this Iran deal. And Ted Cruz laid out a plan to where they could stop the Iran deal. And he's being totally ignored by the traditional Republican elite.
Hence his better numbers.
Yeah, but Cruz has a point, and he has a plan to stop this thing, and the Republicans just throwing up their hands as if they can't do any damn thing. It just drives me nuts.
You're not alone. You know, I'm almost tempted to say, okay, bring Donald. Let Donald win the presidency. Yeah, I mean, just because.
Just to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, just because. Just say, look, we're gonna disrupt the whole system. We're gonna elect somebody that has nothing to do with politics, and just see what happens. You know, let everybody know. Look, when we send you to Washington D.C., you go into that bubble. No, your bubble is not the world.
Yeah,
it is not our nation. And we want things to change, and the only way to get change is to hire somebody to take that position and who's never had a political background. So be it.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you saw this quote, but Donald Trump was doing this speech on this Stop Iran deal they had, this rally they had this past week. And Trump, being, of course, typically Trump, says, if I'm president, we're going to win. We're going to win so much. We're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning. And I'm thinking, well, I started laughing because I'm thinking, what the hell does that really mean?
you know, this is, but this next debate in a couple of days, they're going to try so hard to pin him down.
Oh,
and he is like a slippery eel. You know, he'll talk on generalities, and that's all he does, talking generalities.
Yeah.
And he'll say he'll like this about this plan, this about this plan, but he won't talk about what he's going to do in specifics.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see if he gets away with it again, because if he gets away with it again, I don't think there'll be no stopping him.
Yeah, I think Hugh Hewitt's going to try to nail him down on some specifics, which Trump does not like doing. And plus, and to be honest with you, and depending on what you're talking about, he doesn't know the specifics.
he doesn't.
He just has a broad vision of what he wants to accomplish. And the way he is so cocky, in a way, it's a good thing, but he's just so confident that, hey, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do, and I'll figure it out as I go along. And because the way he looks at everything as a negotiation. He looks at politics, he looks at all this stuff, foreign policy. He looks at all of it as a negotiator, as a negotiation, and he feels like he's the best negotiator we've got.
Well, he also turned it into a gotcha type thing. He'll say, "Oh, it's you're like trying to get me in a gotcha question, and I'm not going to fall for that." You know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that'll hold up or not over time, but that's what he's done thus far. Yes.
Hey, it's worked so far.
So far, he's gotten away with it.
Well, that's the thing. Can they pin him down? And if they pin him down, will he say something that turns people against him?
Yeah, I mean, will he react? So far, at this point, Trump has not reacted angrily. He's gotten kind of snippy a few times, but he's not gotten really down and dirty, per se. Which, by the way, I'm sure you heard this quote about he was making fun of Carly Fiorina, was talking about her face. He was kind of like I do with Hillary. He was going, "Look at that face. Would you vote for that face?" I mean, he was being really kind of snotty about it. And of course, I can do that because I'm not running for president. He is, but my thing was when he said that, I think Carly Fiorina is for a 61-year-old woman. I think she's an attractive woman. Make sure everybody knows it. She's not drop dead gorgeous. She's not like she's not. But. I've seen uglier, and Hillary being one of them. I mean, I've seen uglier Dan Simmons.
I knew Hillary was coming in that somewhere in that conversation. I knew it. Well,
there was just no way I could leave that alone. So, but I just don't see the point that she's supposedly. Do you think Carly Fiorina is all that ugly and whatever? I mean,
no, not at all.
See it,
but Trump said that. It wasn't her face; it was her persona.
Yeah, that's what he tried to label.
But see that there, it goes back to trying to nail him down because the guy he was talking to said, "No, you said her face. You said her face." You know, he's trying to get Trump to say, "Yes, she's ugly," but he didn't fall for it. He just said it was her persona, and he just kept and he talked away. He's talked his way out of it. And how many times has Barack Hussein Obama done the same thing where he's you give him a question, you try to pin him down on something, and he talks for 5 minutes about nothing.
Yeah, well, he has a different technique than Trump does. He basically
bores you to death. That's right, but he still does the same thing.
Yeah, he bores you to death, until you finally give up and don't care anymore.
Exactly. 5 minutes later, you go, I don't even
know what the hell the question was.
Yeah, what did I ask? Oh, let's go something else. And then he gets another – you ask three questions, and he spends 30 minutes answering them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like with Barack Obama, you can ask him about the Iran deal, and all of a sudden you wind up hearing a 5-minute speech on climate change. You go,
"Oh, yeah, here we go."
That's our biggest challenge is climate change and blah, 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 blah. And you're going, "What the hell?"
I would love to sit down with Barack Obama and give me one question, and I would say, "Okay, you talk about climate change. Can you explain to me why you flew to California and you took two big ass jets and at the same time to be on TV shows? Could you explain it to me, please?" And don't talk about climate change when tell me why you did that.
You know what's funny? When he went to Alaska recently. He went to Alaska and he was talking to all them about climate change. He was talking about that we need to start doing solar energy. He was talking about solar energy in Alaska. And someone pointed out that, Alaska doesn't get a hell of a lot of sunshine. There's parts of the year where there's no damn sunshine. How the hell is that going to work?
Yeah, there's...
I mean, you have total darkness in some parts of Alaska.
Part of the year, you get 4 hours of daylight. That's it.
Yeah.
And I was there last summer, I had 16 hours of daylight.
Yeah, it's the opposite during the summer.
Right? I had the opposite, which is it's amazing. At 10 o'clock, it's like six in the evening, 10 o'clock at night. It makes for tourism. That's the best time to go to Alaska because you get to see Alaska, and who cares about the clock? Because you're going to see it.
Because you have 16-hour days. I mean,
that
would be amazing. I kind of wish we had that here. So if I wouldn't be real crazy about the 16-hour nights, that would not be a lot of fun.
Oh, well, that's, yes.
Or whatever.
I tried to put myself in that shoes, back a year ago in summer when I kept thinking, gosh, 4 hours of daylight. That'd be tough. That would be tough.
Yeah, that'd be kind of depressing, I would think, because you know how it is here where we live, and we're in the South. I mean, but when the weather gets a little cold, just kind of like stay in the house. You don't really get out much and this, that, and the other. And when springtime comes, you really do have spring fever. When spring happens,
yeah,
man, you just can't wait to get the hell out of the house and get in the truck and go somewhere, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So I can imagine if you lived in Alaska and had to deal with that. God, that would just...
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
talking about cabin fever.
Oh, yeah, cabin fever, exactly. Talk about Hillary here a little bit before we go to break. We got some more stuff we're going to talk about, obviously, after the break. But, this past week, she still would not admit that she was, would not say she was sorry for her email situation, blah, blah, blah.
Because she's not.
Well, yeah. And she was saying, I'm so sorry that everyone is confused about me doing whatever I've done and whatever. But that lasted about 24, 48 hours. And then finally she went on an interview and actually said the words, I'm sorry. Except, of course, we know she doesn't mean it. And really, if you think about it, what is she sorry for?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot harder to quantify than you think it would be. Also, there's a story that broke, I think, yesterday, where we've always said that they could probably get these emails back and so forth, and we've talked about that ad nauseum. But apparently, the word has come down that they, and we already said this before too, that the FBI thought they could get the stuff that. They didn't think the person that did the wiping did a very good job. But there's a story, though, that came out this weekend that says that the company that was responsible, Platte Rivers, whatever the name of the IT company that was in charge of all this, said they basically said the server was not wiped. Now, Hillary says, and her people say they deleted some emails, but apparently these morons didn't realize that you just by simply deleting the emails doesn't really get rid of them. And
aren't you shocked that she didn't take a hammer to, or somebody didn't take a sledgehammer and just beat those things to a pulp?
Well, yeah, we actually made jokes about that. We made jokes about that when it came to the IRS stuff, about the emails, about the platters and the hard drives literally being hammered to death and all this kind of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
But I'm amazed that somebody in the Clinton camp didn't realize that, hey, just because you delete them doesn't mean they're really deleted. They're still there. They can be retrieved.
Well, maybe they thought that they would never have to give them to the FBI, period. Maybe that's what they, they're the Clintons. Remember, the Clintons can get away with anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they thought that it would never come up and nobody would ever dare challenge Hillary. And I mean, that's probably the mindset that they were working on.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Arrogance, then Bill would never have to turn over, his emails, his server. Hillary would never be able to do that because she's part of Bill. No, you're a criminal, Miss Clinton, and we're going to prove it. And I hope they can bring those back because Primo, that Benghazi emails are there's a flood of Benghazi emails on there, and that's gonna kill her. It's gonna kill her.
Well, yeah, I'm betting there is too. But on top of that, there may be other stuff there that we just hadn't thought about, and I'm thinking more so the Clinton Foundation.
I
would be willing to bet there'll be something along the lines of, well, if you could make a generous donation to the foundation, I'll see what I can do about getting this this thing through that you need done. Mm-hmm. I'll see what I can do. Those are the kinds of things that I think. Of course, I hope Benghazi stuff shows up so that we can nail her for that. But there could be a treasure trove of stuff.
Yes, I think there is.
It could be ridiculous.
Yeah. She's, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like every day something else is coming out about Hillary that, here's another 15 emails that was classified that she said there was not. There's just too much going on with her. She can't get away from it. She can't. I know she wants it to go away, but it's not going away.
That's true.
It's getting worse.
Hey, real quick, we're getting ready to go to break. Most of you folks probably have heard by now, but Rick Perry is suspending his campaign for president of the United States. So the 17 has whittled down to now 16 candidates. But you know what? There are going to be a lot more people dropping out pretty soon. And we're going to actually talk about that when we come back from the break. So let's go ahead and go to break. Thank you for listening to Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Cleveland.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please Help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Let's talk about the presidential race. As I mentioned before we went to break, Rick Perry has now suspended his campaign. And by the way, Ken, I love it when they don't say they're dropping out of the race. They always say, I'm suspending my campaign, as if they're going to come back. I hate to say it, but I don't think Rick Perry's coming back. Let's talk about some of the other people who are probably going to be gone before too long. The first one would be George Pataki. There's an article that I put on RedStateTalkRadio.com talks about all this stuff. It basically says, place your bets, who's going to be next kind of thing. I forget the exact title. But Pataki. The opinion of the guy that wrote this article says that he won't even make it to Iowa. And that's probably true. I don't even, this guy says, and I agree with him, I have no idea why he's running. Is there any great groundswell for George Pataki that you know of, Ken?
No, but I can say that about several of them.
Yeah, you're right. There's at least probably, gosh, I don't know.
Let's throw Rick Santorum into that one.
Well, Santorum does have a little bit of a base because of his last time he ran.
Well, that's what he's counting on. And he's counting on Iowa. He's counting on that you know, the polls who shows him at 1% or whatever it is. That he's counting on Iowa that, you know, somehow, some way that these pollers, the pollsters don't get to the people that actually vote for him. And he's going to come up, you know, came out of the blue like he did last time.
Well, I mean, I guess it's possible, but. I think that after Iowa, he's gone because that's that evangelical vote in Iowa is his strong suit if he has one. He's not going to do well in New Hampshire, and I don't think he's going to do well in South Carolina. So,
well, I mean, the if you're talking about the evangelical, then you know, Huckabee. I mean,
You got Scott Walker. Those guys, supposedly, yeah.
So. And this time of this season of politicians and non-politicians, it's going to be more to the non-politician. And Ted Cruz represents to me the non-politician.
Fiorina's doing well in Iowa, even though you wouldn't think of her as being evangelical, and I don't think she necessarily is. But what I'm getting at is she's being well received. People like her. The people who in Iowa who listen to her and go to hear her speeches, they all of a sudden go, hey.
Yeah, I like her.
You know, I do too. I keep saying it all the time. She's still my number two. Cruz is number one as far as I'm concerned. But Fiorina's a solid two.
The shocker for me is Scott Walker. That's the one he started out of the gate. You think, you know, this guy's got so much promise. And, you know, even Hillary's throwing his name around because she thinks she might have to go up against him, that kind of thing. And he's plummeted.
Yeah. Well, right. Let's give the listeners a list here of people that this article says are basically done for. George Pataki, Bobby Jindal, which, by the way, last week, Bobby Jindal started attacking Donald Trump in an effort to try to get himself above 1% in the polls. And I don't know if there's been any polls done since he did this last week, but I think it looks like desperation to me. Third, Jim Gilmore. Again, another person why I have no idea why he's even in a race. Fourth, Chris Christie.
Good riddance.
He's not going to last long. Rand Paul. Now, this one's a bit of a surprise. I thought Rand Paul might have had a decent shot at this whole thing a few months back, but he has been really a disappointing candidate, I think. He's just not – I just don't think he's that really interested in – I don't see the enthusiasm in him. I just don't – as a campaigner. You know, yeah,
I think also the thing that's hurt Rand Paul has been ISIS. It's been foreign policy.
Yeah.
Trump has out-trumped him, and he's got foreign policy against him.
Right. Also, the next three that they're talking about, he's got a list of eight. Would be Scott Walker, which we already talked about, that he's probably not going to make it past Iowa. Rick Santorum, again, I don't think he makes it past Iowa. Now, first of all, most of these people are going to stay at least to Iowa. That's just, you know, most of them. There might be one or two that quit before Iowa. Like Pataki, he may quit before Iowa, and maybe Gilmore might quit before Iowa. But the rest of these, I think, will probably stick around to Iowa, possibly. Except Christie. Christie may not have a choice because he's just going to be out of money. But then Lindsey Graham, who is not even trying in Iowa. He's putting everything he has in New Hampshire, thinking he's going to do well in New Hampshire, and that will pole vault him into the spotlight when he goes to South Carolina, which is his home state. But I got news for you. I don't think he's going to do that well in New Hampshire, number one. And number two, if he doesn't do well in New Hampshire, he's not even going to show his face in the South Carolina primary because that's his home state. And he's not going to run the risk of getting his butt kicked in his home state.
Yeah, embarrassment.
Yeah, it'd be a total embarrassment. It's just not going to happen.
Well, he's not even in the top 11, is he?
No, Lindsey Graham, we mentioned this before we went on the air. The Real Clear Politics, when they average all the polls, Lindsey Graham averages 0%. And I told you, I said, how the hell do you average 0% when there's more than one poll?
Well, they made an exception for Fiorina to be in the – now they have 11 candidates on the stage at the CNN debate where they only had 10 last time, and she wasn't a part of it. But Lindsey Graham's not going to be a part of that.
No. And the thing was is what they did was they basically are discounting some of the earlier polls that really don't have a whole lot to do with anything. And they're counting the more recent polls. And that's why Fiorina's in. And she should be because she has really come on since that first debate. I mean, it was absolutely clear that she easily won what was it we called it before? The debate, the earlier debate that night, Seven Dwarfs debate. I think that's what it was. She easily won that by landslide. There was really nobody even close. And so she deserves to be on that front, that main stage. And I am looking forward to having her on the main stage this next week. By the way, debate is this coming week. What day is it, Ken? Is it Tuesday?
Wednesday,
is it
isn't
Thursday?
It?
I don't know.
Wednesday, I think.
Is it Wednesday?
I think so.
I'll have to look. Look after we get off the air. I'll take a look because I definitely do be sure and watch that. So, but anyway,
for sure it is. I'll check it out while we're talking.
Let's try to Google it while you're doing it, maybe. Yeah. You know, this isn't really necessarily presidential politics, but let's kind of move around a little bit on this Iranian deal. I just do not understand. So I had someone message me on Facebook, and they were trying to understand, like, what is Obama doing? Why is he for this Iranian deal, et cetera, or whatever. And I said, look, it's real simple. He's not on our side. I said, it's as simple as that. I said, this guy, is not, his primary goal is not the preservation and the health and the security of the United States is not a priority for him. He thinks that we're a source of evil in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I don't care, I'm just going to say this, we've said this before, you've said this before, I've ever said it before. This guy's a Muslim. I don't give a damn what he says. You cannot sit there and look at his policies and what he has done with Iran and what he has done with his Middle Eastern strategy. There's no way in the world that let's put it this way. There's no way in the world that a Christian American would do what he's doing.
Let's just be real simple. He said it himself on that apologetic tour in Egypt. He said word for word that no country has the right to tell another country they can't be nuclear.
Yeah. Now, that's a firmly held belief he has. Yeah.
It is. And this is, you know, he can talk, he can lie, and that's part of the deal. Lying is not a big, lying does not matter. Lying is part of the Muslim way. If it's for the better good, lying is fine.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, literally, they actually have a term for that. I forget what the name of the term is, but they have a term for that, that as long as it's for the glory of Allah, you can lie like a dog, and it's perfectly acceptable, and they just don't have a problem with it. Now, we supposedly don't like lying, but we have politicians, of course, who lie to us all the time. But I mean, at least our basic philosophy, at least a Christian, Christian and Judeo, Judeo-Christian philosophy, the Jews and the Christians, we don't really care for people who lie. I've always said this before many times. Two things I can't stand is a liar and a thief. I got no use for either one of those things. And apparently, in the Muslim culture, it's not a big deal.
No. By the way, the Republican thing is Wednesday at 6 and 8 p.m.
6 p.m. for the first debate, I guess, and then 8 p.m. for the second debate, which will be the one that everybody will be watching, because they'll have Donald Trump and Fiorina and Cruz. I guess the butts that will be on that first debate will probably be people like Graham, Santorum. I wonder if Walker will be in that on the first. You know what I'm saying? Because he's down so far. You think he'll probably be on the top debate?
He'll still be in the top.
Yeah.
Pataki, those three.
Pataki, Jindal, Gilmore. That'll be three right there. Those three for sure will be at the bottom. And then, well, what about Rand Paul? Will he be on the big stage, or he be with the?
Yeah, I think everybody's on the stage last time. We'll be on the stage this time with Fiorina. It's going to be the same.
Well, you may be right. You may be right. Maybe the same bunch, except one.
It'll be the same bunch, except it's going to be 11 instead of 10.
Okay. Well, I guess that's true. I just, like I say, most of the people are going to be gone. And I'll be glad when a lot of them are gone, to be honest with you, because the polling doesn't mean to have a lot when you got 16, 17 candidates. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it's interesting in it that Rick Perry, he came out of the gate firing on Donald Trump, trying to bring Donald Trump down. And the others, I'm sure, have watched to see how he's going to fare. And he's out. So the debate coming Wednesday, they, you know, like you said, he sucks all the oxygen out of the room. Are they going to go after him? I know the media will. The media's going to try to pin him down, but will they turn on him?
Will the candidates themselves, like, in other words, will Jeb Bush sit there and, like, take a big stab at Donald Trump and see if he can't trip him up or something or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that usually how it works, though? If you're the front runner, don't they usually go after your policies or
normally or the two or three people who are right below you go after you like dogs on a
bike. Yeah.
Normally what happens.
And last time you know, everybody had, it's not like everybody had their day in the sun, Santorum and Herman and Gingrich, you know, they all had, they had their point, their parts where they were on top, you know?
Yeah.
And then they were taken down. Usually it was the media that did it though. I don't know. I think you got to be really careful if you're a candidate, get to go after Trump. I think to me, it seems like you let him just burn himself out, you know, that at some point he's going to say something that's going to bring him down. But
I don't know. So far, he said some pretty outlandish stuff and he gets away with it. So that's fine.
I know, but he's so general. He's never specific about anything really. And people go with that. They're okay with that. And if he'll turn it into, oh, you're trying to get me in a gotcha question. And you're the media and you're after me. And the media's, they're corrupt. And he gets away with that too.
Well, there's one theory that goes around that Donald will not be able to get by without all the specifics on his plans at some point. In other words,
but when is that going to happen?
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Are we talking the general election? Are we talking he's already the nominee? I don't know.
That's the million-dollar question is when will people like – the theory is that people will go – they'll get more serious as time goes on and go, well, okay, Donald was fun, but let's pick somebody who can actually do the job now. So let's, you know, and so then they'll start looking at other people. But my question is, you know, if you don't start doing it soon, you're going to wind up – if he keeps rolling like he's rolling, he's going to be the nominee. Unless somebody sticks their head up or he screws up.
Well, my prediction is that he's, you know, if he flames out, that it won't go to a regular politician. It's going to go to Fiorina. It's going to go to Ted Cruz. It's going to go to Ben Carson. Yep. It's going to go to one of those guys.
Those three there, I think.
I predict one of our nominees is going to be one of those other three. It's going to be Fiorina, Ben Carson, or Ted Cruz.
You could be right. Could be right.
Oh, man. If he flames out, I can just guarantee you that they're not going to Bush. Because I'm not going to Bush. Are you going to Bush?
I'm not going to Bush. Hell, I'll stay at home.
But that's the whole point, Primo.
I know.
You know it, and I know it. People are pissed out there. Like we talked about in the first of the show, they're pissed and they don't want Bush. They don't want Hillary. They don't want anything that has to do with the status quo anymore. Not this time around.
No, I think basically people feel like they've been fooled. People feel like they've been played because 2010, 2014,
we
gave these guys our votes and they done jack squat for it.
But it also, you know, look at the president who we have.
We've got
a president that's ransacked this country morally.
He's depleted our military
economically.
I mean, he's just done everything he could possibly do to make us more vulnerable.
Yes, he has. And he's, you know, and he's trying to do it even more so before he gets out of office. With this Iran deal, who knows what's up his sleeve before it's all over?
Well, I read an article this morning about Gitmo and how, you know, Chuck Hagel, when he was in charge, one of the reasons he was forced out of office because he was not getting people out of Gitmo quick enough to suit Obama. So they bring in Ash Carter. And supposedly Obama and Ash Carter had a sit down and they talked about how important it was to get rid of all the people at Gitmo. And here's the problem. Ash Carter is letting, in the first 6 months that he's been Secretary of Defense, He's letting out less people than Chuck Hagel did. And they say Obama is about to blow a damn gasket because he thought he had someone who would play ball. Mm-hmm. And the guy's not playing ball, at least to his point of view. I mean, again, he wants to let all these terrorists back out on the battlefield. He's done it already, and he wants to do more of it. I mean,
you know,
is that not treason? I don't understand why he's not being held for treason.
It is treasonous. He's a traitor. You know what pisses me off more than anything else about this Iran deal? You know what pisses me off is we're going to give them billions of dollars to finance terrorism. Primo, and you've got idiots in Congress that go along with that? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Guess what's going to happen, folks? Guess what's going to happen? We're funding terrorism that we're going to have to go in and clean up at some point. We're going to have to, and we're going to lose American lives. We're killing ourselves. We're going to kill our own blood.
Yeah,
we're going to put boots on the ground. Somewhere down the line, we're going to have to put boots on the ground because of this president and because these idiots in Congress who are going along with it.
Who won't that's stand just, up to him. Who will not stand up to this guy.
To me. That's God, that pisses me off. And we're going to cost – maybe those are not even born yet. America's not even born yet. They're going to go to war for us and be killed because of this president, because this Congress is going to go along with it. We're financing terrorism. We're financing guns and missiles and all kinds of things. And we're putting ourselves in danger, and we're going to kill our own self. It's just beyond reason. I can't imagine it, can't comprehend it, and we're doing it.
Well, you know, the estimates are that because of the lifting of the sanctions, we're basically going to give them between $100 and $150 billion. Well, you can buy a lot of IEDs. You can buy a lot of mischief with that kind of money.
Yeah, and Susan Rice gets up there and says, yeah, some of that money's going to go to finance terrorism. You know it. You know it, and you're still doing it.
And they act like, well, there's nothing you can do about it kind of thing. I think, well, hell yeah, there is you don't do this damn deal.
Is there any reason why people are pissed off about the status quo politicians? Any reason at all? When you've got a president doing what he's doing, and you got a Congress that allows him to do it.
I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, if this kind of crap just keeps on happening, we could be looking at some sort of a civil war. And I'm not talking about black on white, which is what Black Lives Matter wants. I'm talking about, you know what? Matter of fact, there was a poll taken this week. I don't know if you saw this story or not, Ken. There was a poll taken this week that showed that 29% of Americans would be in favor of the military performing a coup and taking Obama out of office.
Yeah, I saw your post on that.
29%. My comment was, I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that poll ever being done 10, 15 years ago, that many Americans would be willing to go to that extreme? I can't remember ever. That's amazing to me.
Can you imagine just the poll itself being done?
Well, yeah, the fact that someone even asked the question.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
The question is even posed.
Well, as always, we're out of time. Ken, you want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, which it seems like we're going to, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.